I love to smoke, I'm marijuana. They wanna make me a monster, cause I love to meditate on a natural mystic life of fire. Yeah, I'm gonna smoke, I'm marijuana. I can't be conquered, a natural remedy. I keep an eye.
The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Then it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, August 23rd, 2011, and it's got to be my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, dear. I'm Radical Russ. Welcome to our show, Normal Show Live. We're going to have ourselves a good time because we are back from Seattle Hemp Fest. 3 days. We survived somewhat. So we're going to have a lot of fun showing you some of the highlights of Seattle Hemp Fest this week. And we're going to start that off at half past the hour with video from Rick Steves, the PBS travel host. You all know him and love him. He spoke at the main stage. And then Jody Emery, the wife of Prince of Pop Mark Emery, wonderful lady. Got to speak to her two or three times. We had similar speaking times and got to hang out backstage together. You couldn't meet a nicer person. But before we get to all of that, we're going to go first to our studio and introduce the rest of our crew. And unfortunately, Ganja John can't.
There be pirates here.
No, I'm afraid there's no pirates here. Ganja John could not be at the show today. He's still stuck in Seattle, Washington, after the Seattle Hemp Fest. So joining us here in the John seat is Wiz Calico. How you doing, Calico?
Aloha. Glad to be here. I had a great time at Hemp Fest, and glad to be back doing this again.
It was your first one, right?
It was my first one. It was a blast. And then just like the normal conference, the only thing I took away from it was that I could never miss another one.
Yeah, no kidding. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grass Story, Oregon, is the lovely Cannabis Carrie. Hello, Carrie. Oh, we got to turn you up or else we can't hear you. Hello, Carrie. Oh, there you are.
Thank you. Hi, Russ. happy back from Hemp Fest.
Oh, I know. And just barely
Hello,
survived.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you. We just barely survived it out there. It was a lot of fun, but boy, 3 days really takes it out of you, doesn't it? Okay, we got a super delay with Carrie here, so we're going to bring her
back in
just a moment here with our hemp headlines. Coming up in the hemp headlines today, the Seattle Times reporter finds it very easy to get medical marijuana recommendation in the Seattle Hemp Fest. The owner of the Wake and Bake Lounge here in Aloha, Oregon, is expected to be the first dispensary owner in this state to plead to charges and plead guilty. In other news and entertainment news, we have the show Survivor, which has a Denver dispensary owner taking place, and former jailblazer Zach Randolph is in the news about a marijuana deal gone bad. Unfortunately, we have to bring that news to you today. Also joining us on the show today, Cannabis Cure UK is live in the studio. He's going to be bringing us our Daily Toker Tunes for the day. And what do we have for our Daily Toker Tunes today?
How's it going?
Sure,
yeah, we've
sorry.
Got a track from Satterspliff. It's called Love and Inity. And yeah, it's a bit of a breakbeat, upbeat, Breakdown. So, all right. A bit of a chill tune.
Good stuff coming up on today's Normal Show Live. Stay tuned. And at the end of the show, I've got a little time for some ranting. Listening to some of the people speak in Washington makes me have to ask, can't we all get a bong? We're right back after this.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Yo, what's up? This is Miles from Slightly Stupid. You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Hey, Tokers, this is Radical Russ encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at seedlesssummertour.com. Slightly Stupid.
Go, we don't need no cocaine.
Revolution. Revolution. Shwayze. And Cisco. It's the stoniest show of the summer, coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Groove Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
NBA star Zach Randolph has had his problems with the law. He has had two very public DUIs, a fight with other players that ended in injuries, and has been suspended because of a fight with another player. And now Oregon Sheriff deputies are investigating the claims of a man who was beaten at his home over the weekend when he was there trying to sell some medical marijuana. The incident occurred at Randolph's home in Westland, Oregon, near Portland. And even though today they are saying that the victim's identity is being withheld, the man who claims that he was beaten with a pool cue's brother was on the local news channels last night telling his side of the story. Early Saturday, the victim, identified by his family as James Beasley, went to Randolph's home because he got a call from a patient who knew the man to supply medical marijuana to patients. Once inside Zach Randolph's home, he said he was beaten with a pool stick over the price of the marijuana he had brought. The man later told police that Randolph was not one of the people who beat him and that he probably would have recognized the NBA star if he saw him in the home. The victim said that about 10 people attacked him and about 20 people were in the home when he was being beat. He was treated for head and face injuries and released from the hospital on Sunday afternoon, about the same time as the Clackamas Sheriff's Department served a warrant on Zach Randolph's house and spoke with about 10 people who were at the party. No arrests were made, and they found no drugs in the home. They did, however, take some pool cues out of the residence and some blood evidence as well. The authorities say that the evidence collected was consistent with the victim's statements. The victim's brother is claiming that Zach Randolph has reached out to him several times on his cell phone to ask him how much money he needs just to make this all go away. Now, for his part, Randolph has not spoken to media or the police on the advice of his lawyer. There is no phone number listed for the home, and two separate sports utility vehicles left the residence early this morning, but no one was talking to the reporters that were camped out in front of Randolph's home. Zach Randolph was a former Portland Trailblazer and currently plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. So far as well, there has been no comment from the Grizzlies organization.
Wow. Well, I guess we were right to trade the guy. What a thug here. Getting involved in this, you know, beating someone up over marijuana, over a deal gone bad. It's just ridiculous. It's unprofessional. It's juvenile. It's childish. And especially if you're someone like, you know, of Zach Randolph's stature here, where you're in the public eye and you probably have plenty of money. You know, if you lost a little on a weed deal, let it go. It's not as if you're going to go broke or not be able to pay the water bill or something like that. So, get it together here and stop embarrassing us.
And just some quick entertainment news for Monday. The new cast of the popular survival reality show was revealed today. Survivor South Pacific, the new season cast, was just put up on their website, along with the bios on the 18 people who will be playing for a $1 million paycheck if they manage to outwit and outstay their fellow castmates. Among them are retired New York City police detective, a Harvard Law student, a country music singer, a spoken word artist, an anesthesiologist, a teacher or mortician, and a lingerie football player. But also in that cast, Jim Rice, a 35-year-old owner of a medical marijuana dispensary in Denver, Colorado. He will also be competing this season, so one for the stoners to root for.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, we've got friends, you know, Ganja John's friend, Kulali, works for the Survivor TV show. So we might be able to get a little bit of behind-the-scenes information on this dispensary owner and how everything went for him on the Survivor show. So we'll keep you posted on how that turns out.
And the owner of the Bacon Bake Cannabis Lounge in Aloha, Oregon, a suburb of Portland, will be arraigned on two counts of distributing marijuana tomorrow. Kathleen O'Shea Cambron, 44 years old, is expected to plead guilty to the charges and be sentenced at an afternoon hearing. This will be the first prosecution of a medical marijuana dispensary owner in the state of Oregon. In November of last year, Oregon voters did not pass Measure 74, a bill that sought to legalize medical marijuana dispensaries in the state and set up some rules for them to operate under. Wake and Bake opened in November, just days after Measure 74 was voted down. Now, we will give you another update tomorrow or Wednesday when we know Mrs. Cambron's sentence.
You know, that's such a shame, because one of the things I've been trying to tell people, if they want to get involved in the marijuana business, as gray or charcoal gray as it may be, especially here in Oregon, then you got to understand you're not just getting involved in business. You're getting involved in activism. You're getting involved in reform. And so if you go into business and aren't prepared to, you know, take your lumps and go to court and fight for this, to fight for this right, then you're not doing us any favors. When you take a plea agreement like this, when you make their jobs easier, then it makes all of our jobs harder. This whole time when you've been running these lounges, these cannabis clubs, these cafes, whatever they're supposed to be called here in Oregon, y'all have been telling the patients, it's all perfectly legal. We're just a private club. Everything's by donation. It's all by gifts. It's just about compassion. And then if you get busted and quickly jump to a plea agreement, you make everyone else who's been saying that same thing look as if they're liars, look as if they're trying to pull one over on the public. If you went into business believing this was legal, and believing you were doing it for the compassion and doing it for the right reasons and trying to help out the patients, then you need to stick to your guns and fight this out in court.
The Seattle Times featured a story today about the availability of medical marijuana recommendations at the Seattle Hemp Fest this weekend. They highlighted a clinic called Four Evergreen that had a booth close to the Ben & Jerry's ice cream stand. Women passed out flyers and tried to funnel festival goers into their booth that advertised medical marijuana recommendations good for 1 year for $150 if you just happened to bring your medical records to the waterfront park this weekend, or $200 if you were there without your medical records. Reporter Jonathan Martin of the Seattle Times was the first in line on Saturday without any paperwork except his ID. He watched a short video in the tent that was about 5 minutes long, then met with a naturopath for about 11 minutes before getting the recommendation for him to legally possess 1.5 pounds of cannabis and up to 15 cannabis plants. Washington State has had a medical marijuana law on the books for 13 years. Now, in 2010, There was an expansion on what type of medical professionals were able to authorize medical marijuana, and there has been a recent boom of clinics opening up in Washington State in the last year. The reporter reveals that he had a legitimate complaint about reoccurring lower back pain, a condition that he has had that flares up weekly, but he points out that he has never missed a day of work because of it in the last 11 years. As required by the state law, the naturopath did a physical exam, asking the reporter to stretch until it hurt. She talked about other alternatives, including acupuncture, and advised him to see his primary doctor about other medical issues. After about 11 minutes, she signed a one-year authorization on tamper-proof paper, and then Jonathan Martin handed over his credit card. After the exam was over, he did identify himself as a reporter, and the naturopath declined to be interviewed. But the doctor who is the medical director for Evergreen Clinic, Dr. Demetrios Magaisis, was also working the booth at HempFest and told a reporter that the physical exam and the doctor's questions were to assess that he had what he said he had. He said he believes that marijuana is a safer and better treatment for chronic pain because it does not cause stomach problems, asking the reporter, quote, "Why does someone have to suffer before they take cannabis? Why does someone have to take Vicodin before cannabis?" He said that since he's taken over the medical directorship of the clinic 2 months ago, that he has tried to professionalize the operation by making sure that the blood pressure of each patient is checked and that questionable practices such as group authorizations are no longer being done at the clinic. He did say he acknowledges that the HempFest booth that was surrounded by other booths selling glassware had prompted some complaints from other doctors about their professionalism, but says that it's something that the clinic staff will discuss now that the event is over. Now, the HempFest tent didn't bother Senator Jeanie Cole Wells, who was asked about it. She's been a supporter of medical marijuana and patients' rights. She thinks it may be convenient for legitimate patients who are unsure of how to get authorized. She noted that the law requires intractable pain and not chronic pain, and wonders how a doctor can so quickly diagnose a long-term condition without medical records. She said, quote, "I think it may be a rather loose evaluation. I think that does not meet the spirit of the law, if not the technicality of the law." Russ?
Well, I saw that booth there. It was just down the way from us, south of the normal tent, normal booth there at Seattle Hemp Fest. And, you know, I'm kind of, you know, on one hand, on the other hand with this thing. On the one hand, we know how safe cannabis is, right? You shouldn't need a doctor's recommendation. I should be able to just go, you know what? I feel like some cannabis, and be able to use it. That's really all we need here. We all know that this whole doctor recommendation thing and medical marijuana thing is because the general public thinks that marijuana is a dangerous, evil, scary drug that leads to heroin. And so we have to make these concessions to the general public to soothe their fears. Oh, don't worry. It's just about medicine. It's just for the people who desperately need it. But on the other hand, you know, the facade is starting to crumble. You know, and a lot of people who originally supported medical marijuana when they thought they were supporting it for MS patients, ALS patients, cancer patients, etc., are beginning to feel bamboozled. They're beginning to feel like this was all a trick, all pulling the wool over their eyes. And so I worry about that aspect of it. I think as a community, what we can do in this situation is to start to pivot from trying to defend it as, oh no, it's real recommendations, it's all legitimate medicine, to moving more toward the legalization argument and saying, this is such a safe medicine. This is so recommended by doctors and so innocuous throughout history. We've got such a safety record for it. We've got to start pointing out we've got too many restrictions on it, that it's too restricted, that medical marijuana doesn't go far enough. We're going to have to do that because I'm afraid these doc-in-the-box tents that show up at the expos aren't going anywhere. They're going to continue to be there, so we need to learn a little bit of a jiu-jitsu on this and figure out how to turn it around to our best advantage in the community. All right, in other news here, a quick little story coming out of Tennessee. The movement to legalize marijuana ignores dangers. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because Paul Armentano wrote co-wrote an opinion piece with our own Paul Kuhn, who's on the normal board of directors, and they wrote this in the Tennessean. And usually when we write these things, we don't get a response. They're usually ignored by the drug czar. But this time, we actually got a response. And in this, the guy points out, this is David Minetta, by the way, he says, quote, "Would marijuana legalization make Tennessee healthier or safer? One needs to look no further than Tennessee's current painful experience with prescription drug abuse. In Tennessee, the prescription drugs are regulated, legal, and taxed, and yet rates of abuse of pain relievers in the state exceed the national average by more than 10%. Nationally, someone dies from an unintentional drug overdose driven in large part by prescription drug abuse on average every 19 minutes. What would America look like if we had just as many people using marijuana as we currently have smoking cigarettes, abusing alcohol, and abusing prescription drugs? End quote. And it goes on and on. But the whole point of this, they're trying to defend keeping marijuana illegal because people abuse prescription drugs that are addictive, that are severely addictive, like OxyContin and Vicodin. We can't have natural, safe marijuana because people abuse OxyContin and Vicodin. That's ridiculous. And I'll answer your question. What if we did have as many people using marijuana as smoking cigarettes, alcohol, or prescription drugs? Well, we'd have a whole lot less people smoking cigarettes, abusing alcohol, and taking prescription drugs. Oh, what a stupid line that is. Oh, look, people calling in already. I guess we better take a break. Be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
On the road again.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hard-working Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at norml.org.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar.
You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Porque le falta marihuana que fumar.
You chip it.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, we get a real treat here because Cannabis Cure UK is still with us, recovering from Seattle Hemp Fest. How you doing, Cure?
I'm feeling iry.
A day early.
Ironite. What is this word? We can't even decide.
Inity. Tell us about the tune.
All right, well, I've got another one from Satterspliff for you. We've got a few of his tunes been going through my podcast, through the Normal Show Live podcast. We've had him on Electric Tuesday several times now.
Right.
He's one of my favourite chill-out artists. He plays some dubstep, some breakbeat, and after Hempfest and that chaos and excitement and thousands of miles of walking up and down the same booths, getting lost... And I think it was time for to bring a little bit more of a chillaxing theme to Normal Show Live again. Just a wind down back into the studio. So this one is Satterspliff. It's Lovin' Einity. And yeah, it's a breakbeat, upbeat, grooving Tuesday.
Right on. And how about your experience at the Seattle Hemp Fest? Get some good stuff for Cannabis Cure TV?
Oh yeah, Cannabis Cure TV is being pimped out at the moment with loads of videos. It was great to see you up there on the stage, Russ.
Thank you.
I've been listening to you on the, all these stages for the last 2.5 years, and it was good to see you in action. You really are the... the Radical Russ that you deserve the name.
Thank you so much. How about the other folks that you got to see? I mean, Jody Emery was
fantastic.
I got
to meet Jody Emery backstage as well. That was pretty... I was a little bit too intimidated to actually ask for an interview, but that's a learning curve, I guess. But I still got to meet her, had a bum photo taken, and I can't remember how many other people I spoke to. I spent a lot of time with Gil from Weed Maps as well,
right,
talking about... just the video side of the industry and the media.
And you got a good looked like you got a good interview on the rocks there with Viv McKee.
Oh yeah, of course.
He's got a new book out, folks. It's Protestival. It's a 20-year retrospective of Seattle Hemp Fest, and I encourage you to check it out. Protestival by Vivian McPeak. How did that one go?
Oh, it was awesome speaking to him. He's such a legend. He's been doing it for a long time. He speaks up there with so much passion. He's there all day, all night. I don't think he stopped once, apart from coming to speak to me. I felt a bit blessed that he took the time out to actually say hello and answer a few questions for us. So
yeah,
you can check that out on Cannabis Cure TV. That's youtube.com/CannabisCureTV. And I might get a few clips of those. I think me and Kaliko are thinking of doing an Irie Cure Hour this week.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty sweet. We're kind of thinking about going dab for dab. We'll see. We'll see how that podcast works.
Well, we mentioned this a couple of times now. Me and Kaliko, we started this journey at pretty much the same time. When Kaliko joined as an intern, I didn't realize that was when he did join the show. I thought he'd been in behind the scenes a little bit longer, but that was when I quit my job. And so we pretty much had a month leading up to Normal Con together. Then we had a whole sort of like exciting journey of activism and different sort of sides of the movement.
And Hemp Fest was definitely the culmination of that, and
God,
there couldn't have been a better spot for
it. So definitely a dab for dab.
So check out the joint Irie Cure Hour that might be happening here soon. We'll try to get it recorded maybe this week.
This week, definitely, for sure.
All right, sounds great. Well, we got some Electric Tuesday music to play for you for this 20 after break. This is Satterspliff with Love and Einity.
Enjoy, peace, guys.
Stop. esta vida, me love, peace and joy, y'all.
Love and lying at time.
Dank esta vida, me love, peace and joy, y'all.
Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Warning. Neil deGrasse Tyson may grab you off the street at any minute.
I know that the molecules in my body are traceable to phenomenon in the cosmos that makes me want to grab people in the street and say, have you heard this? The
beauty is this is Normal Show Live.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
Well, we just had the experience of the cannabis community, all right. 3 days at the 20th anniversary Seattle Hemp Fest. You can tell 3 days was a little much, right? But we had such a great time and got to meet so many great people. I want to thank all of the Normal Show Live regulars, minions, chatters, vipers, reefer men, all of you. I want to thank you all for showing up and helping us as much as you did. And a particular shout out goes out to Yellowwanna Cake, who tabled like a pro. I mean, she was, listen, studio audience go nuts, man.
She was nonstop. I couldn't believe it. She's a machine.
Yeah, amazing work at the table. So thank you, Yellowwanna Cake, for helping us at the Normal booth with Keith Strop and Alan St. Pierre and myself. We were able to stream live for the last couple of days, Saturday and Sunday. Friday wasn't so good. And you may be asking, gee, why are we here on Ustream? Well, it's because of this weekend. I went to go live with Stickam, and it just would not go live, no matter which browser I used, a flash upgrade, downgrade, did not matter, could not go live on Stickam. So to hell with Stickam, we're on Ustream now. I hope you like it. I hope we get the word out to all of our regular followers to check us out on our new channel. And the live.normal.org redirect will be fixed very soon so that you will be able to get to that with the old address that you're all used to using. So what we're going to do here for Cannabis Community is I was able to take some video. Actually, Cannabis Cure took these videos. Great video work by Cure. And check out Cannabis Cure TV on YouTube as well, because he was up here all night editing and fixing and titling these videos.
I have not slept yet.
What's that?
I have not slept yet.
yeah, hasn't slept yet.
Since we got back from Seattle. There we are.
Yeah, that's,
in Portland now.
That's the work he does for you, I'm telling you. So check those out at Cannabis Cure. But I just got the raw video here, and we're going to play two of the big speakers that were at Seattle Hemp Fest today. We're going to play Rick Steves, who spoke up on the main stage and many other stages. We're also going to play Jody Emery. And speaking of Jody Emery, wife of the imprisoned Mark Emery, a.k.a. the Prince of Pot, Jody's in our chat room right now. So, Jody, thanks for joining us here on Normal Show Live Chat. Welcome to the community. And thanks so much for coming to Seattle Hemp Fest and being such a wonderful lady. You were just so gracious and willing to take pictures of people and sign autographs, and you were just wonderful. We are so glad and so grateful to have you in this movement. All right, let's go to the video here. We're going to start with Rick Steves on the main stage at Seattle Hemp Fest. Enjoy.
Yes, HempFest. I am a travel writer. And for me, high is a place. It's a beautiful place. It's a place where my speakers sound better. It's a place where suddenly I'm a good cook.
Next year it'll be good.
Where conversations slither around like stray cats. And then once in a while I like to go there. And a lot of people do. Now, there are cases when our government can say we can't go someplace. But if they say we can't go there, there better be a good reason. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no good reason for our government to tell us we cannot go to that beautiful place. Today, 80,000 Americans are in jail because they wanted to go to that place called High. I believe that the responsible adult recreational use of marijuana is a civil liberty. Now, I'm not promoting marijuana. It's a drug. It's not healthy. It can be abused. It can be addictive. It's certainly not for kids. And if you're caught driving intoxicated by anything, as far as I'm concerned, they should throw the book at you. But that doesn't deny the basic principle that enjoying marijuana is a civil liberty. Now, our government is waging a war, a long, losing, expensive, demoralizing war against marijuana based on fears and lies. It's demoralizing our police force. It's eroding and corroding necessary credibility among parents and teachers to teach their children how to get through the threats of hard drug abuse in their young years. It's wasting billions of dollars, and it's messing up literally hundreds of thousands of lives. 800,000 Americans were arrested last year for marijuana. They're not rich white guys. They're poor people and people of color and people who cannot go through life with that burden. This is a scourge on our society, and it's time that we have a new approach. Now, I inject a European perspective to this, and in Europe, a joint is about as exciting as a can of beer. Europe has its drug abuse problems. We have our drug abuse problems. But in Europe, they measure the effectiveness of their drug policies not by how many people do you lock up, but by a concept called harm reduction. How do you minimize harm that this drug causes to a society? And they found that if you take the crime out of the equation, take the violence, take the money out of the equation, then it becomes a health concern and an education challenge. My friends in Europe constantly remind me that a society has to make a choice. Tolerate alternative lifestyles or build more prisons. Here in the United States, we've decided to opt for the latter. And my friends in Europe always follow up that comment by reminding me that we here in the United States lock up more people than anybody else in the world. We lock up 8 times as many people per capita as the Europeans do. Either we are inherently more criminal or there's something messed up about our laws. Now, our drug policy is based on fear and misinformation. For how long has our government been spending money on reefer madness propaganda? Consequently, there's a whole bunch of people that are really afraid. There's a lot of people that think there's a whole reservoir of people that just they could wish they could ruin their lives if only it was legal. Well, in Europe, they've learned that there is not that reservoir of people that would use marijuana if only it was legal. In Portugal, they decriminalized the consumption of all drugs 10 years ago. They just did a review of that policy, and you know, they like it. Use does not go up, the crime is out, it becomes a little more boring, and life goes on. There's a lot of Americans that are also afraid of this gateway drug notion. One toke of marijuana, and you're on the way to heroin addiction. Well, Europe has learned it's not the case. In the Netherlands, it's been 25 years since they arrested somebody for smoking marijuana. And what they've found is that there's not an increase in hard drug use. Their drug-taking population is staying the same in numbers, and it's getting older in demographics. Because people want to experiment with drugs, which is something that kids do. They do it in their 20s, and then they get over it, and they get back on with other kind of things that are exciting to them. And it's just a way of life in Europe. And the only thing gateway about marijuana is its illegality, because when it's illegal, people have to buy it from criminals in the street who have a vested interest in getting you hooked on something that's more addictive and more profitable. We need to take a hard look at our drug laws, and it's so exciting to have a celebration like this. Hempfest is a great celebration of cannabis culture, but I'll tell you, if we want to legalize this, we got to mobilize. We got to get serious. We got to stop preaching to the choir and take it out to the suburbs where people are afraid of this stuff. We have hard-working advocacy groups. I'm a board member of Normal. I've been that for 10 years. These groups are fighting a dogged and difficult campaign on each of our behalfs. They're not charities, they're services, and they're doing our work for us. And you know there's some initiatives going on. I am so proud to be a co-sponsor of initiative I-502. Now, I know that this discourages and disappoints a lot of idealists that want marijuana to be completely free and legal, but that's not going to pass in the voting booth. That would pass here, but it's not going to pass out there. We need something pragmatic as a first step. Please learn about this. This is a smart law. This is a law that has elected officials behind it. This is a law that's not scary. It deals head on with the reasons Prop 19 failed. And if we can stay together, we can pass this thing. I-502 has a booth 100 yards right over there. You'll see it. I'm over there later on today. We'd love to get volunteers to get out there and get signatures. We got to get 240,000 signatures to get this thing on the ballot. And trust me, once it's on the ballot, it will pass. Most people out there want to know about driving problems, and they want to know about how you're going to retail and all these boring facts. This is our first step towards legalizing marijuana. It's going to happen in Washington, and then you can tell your grandchildren you helped change those laws. That's exciting. Now, we're at a crossroads in our society. Think about the 1930s when courageous people were stepping up about the laws against alcohol and saying, you know, this law is causing more problems than it's helping. And Mayor LaGuardia said back in the 30s, if you got a law in the book that you don't intend to enforce consistently across the board, the very existence of that law erodes respect for law enforcement in general. Today, we've got a law in the books that is eroding respect for law enforcement. They got no intention of enforcing it. If they locked us all up, tomorrow would be one less interesting, less creative place to find us to call home, wouldn't it? I want you to know that I'm a hard-working, kid-raising, church-going, tax-paying citizen of the United States. And if I work all day and want to go home and smoke a joint, that's my civil liberty. If you agree with that, get with us, make a difference. We've got a window with I-502, all right? And then we can get beyond hard on drugs and soft on drugs. And as a society, we can be smart on drugs, all right? Thank you very much. Happy travels, even if you're just staying home. All right.
What's that smell?
All right, please. Jody Emery is going to come up here and say a few words right before the 420 countdown. She is such a sweet lady. I'd really like a big applause for her. Come on, Jody Emery.
Thank you so much. Happy Hempfest, everybody. And by my watch, it's 4:14, so I got 6 minutes to get 4:15. I want you to all remember that this is a free event and really, truly give what you can when you're leaving the park. They didn't take money from you coming in. Please leave them some money when you're going home, because 3 days of amazing, amazing speakers, music, education, information, everything you could need is here in Seattle. And Seattle has been so good to me and my husband, Mark Emery. His name is Mark Emery. He's known as the Prince of Pods. He raised millions of dollars. Mark Emery raised millions of dollars for the marijuana movement here in the USA, in Canada, and around the world because he sold marijuana seeds. His mission was to plant the seeds of freedom and overthrow the government. Please be gentle with the camera board. Let's get some good shots of the crowd with this camera. My husband's mission was to free the weed people, the cannabis culture. You are members of the cannabis culture. We celebrate our peacefulness, our tolerance, our love, our diversity. Our culture is important. We are nonviolent, and we should not be hurt by the law or the government or anyone at all. So demand to be free. Set the example for the world, because Canada is going backwards. Canada has a George Bush government in Stephen Harper. Boo is right. And my Canadian government sent my Canadian husband down here to the United States to face a 5-year prison sentence. Mark is the Prince of Pot, known around the world because he sold seeds when no one else could get them. When California made medical marijuana legal, Mark Emery sent them millions of seeds. And when they sent him millions of dollars, and Americans and people around the world sent him millions of dollars, he gave that money back. He financed the U.S. Marijuana Party court cases, suing the government. All your ballot initiatives and activist groups, they were all helped by the seeds and the money from Mark Emery. And he has 3 years left to go in Mississippi. And his desire, my desire, our desire is freedom for all prisoners, freedom from all the pot prisoners. We are nonviolent. We deserve to be free, and we deserve to celebrate our culture. It's 4:17 by my watch. Let me know if it's different by yours. Come in close. Get close to your brothers and sisters, our fellow freedom fighters. We're here to celebrate our culture. 420 is our number, is our time. We know that there are millions and millions of people smoking right now with you all across America, Canada, all around the world. We deserve to be free. My husband deserves to be free, and all prisoners deserve to be free. So do whatever you can every day to end this war on drugs. Give money to Seattle Hemp Fest. They are so amazing. They sleep under the stage, and they deserve your love and support. Happy birthday.
Okay, we're going to all count it down. Go ahead, we're all going to count down. Come on up. Where is he? That's right. There, you were all going to do the countdown. We're about how many seconds away?
We were happy to be.
That's right, about 30 seconds away. Okay. So remember, after 420 is done, are you guys going to leave this a mess, or are you going to leave it clean? All right. And what are you going to do for this Hemp Fest this year? You're going to help us out. All right. I think we're just about there. I think we're just about there. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that. Yep. We were. Remember, just like Jody Emery was saying, we're going to be getting not only stoned with thousands of one of us, but all across the world. All across the United States. Let's do it, folks. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! Happy 420, folks.
Oh, my God.
Look at you guys. I guess you brought them, and now you're going to smoke them. Come on, let's see that famous Seattle. Oh, yeah, there's the famous Seattle fog. That Sealy Stage fog is rolling in again. Huh? That's right. Do we know how to do it up here or what? Ceiling Stage crew behind us here. They're the ones who make this shit happen for you. Okay? Give a big thanks for the Ceiling Stage crew. Come on, give a big helping hand for the Ceiling Stage crew.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, N-O-R-M-L, .org.
That's right, I picked the wrong week, quit sniffing glue.
Legalize it. Don't criticize.
This is Peter Tosh for NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write NORML, N-O-R-M-L.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006.
Help NORML to help protect your rights.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, I had a great time at Seattle Hempfest, but I got to admit there was one part of Hempfest that got me a little discouraged, and that has to do with the situation in Washington State right now. You know, we kind of have an embarrassment of riches. It used to be that we were looking to see if there would be a marijuana legalization effort, and usually not even legalization, something like decrim or even lowest law enforcement priority we would be hoping for. But now, out here in the West, we've got four states with at least two, some as many as four different initiatives that are trying to find a way to legalize marijuana. And up in Washington State, there are two that are kind of competing, and it's a shame in the way that they are competing. The two are I-502, which you may have heard Rick Steve speaking about in our video earlier, and I-505. Now, here's the basic difference, and it kind of breaks down like this in all of the states with multiple initiatives. The 502 initiative is the one that would strictly regulate marijuana. It not only says that marijuana use is legal up to an ounce, but it says, you know, how old you have to be, where it can be bought, how it can be sold, and most controversially, sets DUID limits, which I'm going to get back to in a second. The other frame of mind with I-505 is just to remove criminal penalties for marijuana. This is the ending of alcohol prohibition model, where we take away all the laws that say marijuana use is criminal. And then that's it. There is no specification of how old you have to be, where it's going to be sold, who's going to grow it, what your limits are. There's nothing. It's just all criminal laws are gone. Now, I have good things and bad things to say about both initiatives. The only thing that I have to you know, warn both of them about is the tearing down of the other. I know how inflamed this battle gets inside our own movement. Hell, I was a part of it during 2010 with Prop 19, and I didn't said some things that maybe weren't helpful also. So I'm trying to learn from my mistakes. Now, let me get to the 502 here for just a second, because the troubling thing in this initiative is the inclusion of a per se DUID standard for THC in the blood. And it is setting that at 5 nanograms per milliliter if you're 21 or over. Now, the problem with this is that, and I understand what they're doing, the 502 people are concerned that the general public out there is not going to support an initiative that legalizes marijuana without being absolutely sure it doesn't lead to more stone drivers out there, that it doesn't lead to a stone driver epidemic, even though you and I both know that's not likely to happen. They think that those people need reassurances before they will vote for something. So I sympathize with the point, and I agree with it. I think we do need to reassure the average voter out there that doesn't know much about cannabis that we are serious about preventing impaired driving. But while I appreciate the sentiment, I believe the solution is the wrong one, particularly in light of what went down in Denver just, a month or two ago with their 5 nanogram per milliliter proposal. You'll remember that in that story, we had the pot critic from the Westward, William Breathes, who's a daily medical marijuana consumer, abstain from marijuana use for 24 hours, documented, and then tested at 13 nanograms per milliliter. So in light of that, and in light of newly emerging information that the 5 nanogram per milliliter level, which was thought to be, you know, the level at which we could tell recent use and determine impairment, may only apply to those people that don't consume cannabis very often. That is to say, the regular chronic cannabis consumer could test at levels much above that and still be perfectly sober to drive. So with 502, they're asking you to vote for a standard that is not scientifically valid, that is not, you cannot back that, and in fact would create criminals out of any regular marijuana user that would test above 5 nanograms per milliliter. Worse is the fact that there is a zero tolerance on the DUID if you're under the age of 21. Any nanograms per milliliter, you'll be considered an impaired driver. And since we know the majority of people using cannabis are under the age of 21, you know, 18 to 21 is a huge demographic. It's not a majority, it's a plurality, excuse me. But it's a huge demographic of cannabis users. And to be criminalizing them when they are not at all, you know, impaired is very, very troubling. On the other hand, are those things enough for you to stand in front of people and be seen as a stoner against legalization? And to be seen as someone that says, you know what? I can't let most people be free with an ounce. I just can't do that. Those people with an ounce are still going to have to suffer penalties because I'm worried about the stone driver thing. It's a question you're going to have to ask yourself. And here, I'm willing to give everyone the information on this and let them know where these things go. Now, the other point that is made by the 502 people with regard to 505 is the fact that just removing penalties and not specifying regulations after that and saying you're going to leave it up to the legislature, you're asking voters to trust their legislature, which is, you know, we've seen how they mess up stuff that they want to do. Here's something, marijuana distribution, they probably don't want to have anything to do with. What's that going to turn out like? Now, I understand their point. The 505 people's point is that by not putting regulations in that tell the state to break federal law, the federal government can't take it to court and preempt it. Preemption is when, you know, somebody passes a state law and the federal government says, no, you can't do that. That's against the federal law. We're going to preempt you. We have the superior right here. So I understand that argument from the 505 people. By just removing the criminal penalties, it leaves the feds with the only as being the only entity in Washington state that would have an anti-marijuana law, and the feds would have to spend the money to enforce it. And they're not going to. Not going to spend that kind of money. So I understand that point, but can that pass? Can that pass? And the people from 502 are saying no, it can't pass, because while it would be very popular with us because it treats marijuana the way we think it should be treated because we know the truth about it, the general public just may not be ready to vote for that yet. So it's an interesting conundrum. We have on one side 502 strictly regulating marijuana, in fact, far too strictly regulating marijuana, and putting in unscientific DUID laws to try to mollify people afraid of what about the children and what about the stone drivers. And then on the other hand, we have something that's really nice as far as removing all penalties, But would it be, you know, just a pipe dream, if you'll pardon the pun, with respect to whether or not enough people would support it? All I can tell you here is that I believe as reformers we should always support anything that moves us forward. And if 502 passed and an ounce was legal, that's a game changer. The headlines won't be Washington passed a marijuana law that has a terrible DUID. The headline will be Washington legalized marijuana. And that to me is the most important thing. All right, thanks for joining us.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
We got to go. For Cannabis Carry, Cannabis Cure UK, and Wiz Calico, I'm Radical Russ. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down super.